One of the most challenging responsibilities in the entire world has got to be being a parent, being a mom or dad, because there's so many things as a parent that there's a right answer, but you don't always know kind of what it is. There's always kind of a gray area sometimes in parenting. And one of the kind of the gray areas of parenting that kind of comes up at certain milestones that parents have to face is there's a certain time after the kids move out of the house where they're not there like full time anymore. How long do you let their room kind of remain as it is? How long do you let their room remain as it is? Because you can't just let their room remain forever, like in one place or the other. I was very much aware of this a couple weeks ago. My sister was married and I was back in Sheboygan Falls, just kind of went through our house and I went into my sister's room. I was like, I wonder what her room looks like. You know, now that she's married and it more or less was still kind of the same. She's lives in Milwaukee, but my parents have kind of preserved her room. And I went in there and I said, you know what? Like, I don't think she's ever going to sleep here again. The situation is much different. You know, like, what's going to happen to that room? I remember with myself, I was after I was ordained a priest, so about 10 years after high school, where I remember I came home to visit and I went into my room and I noticed that the bed was there, kind of in the side, but the rest of the room was like a craft room. It had been transformed into something where my mom does her crafts. And in the midst of that then, and this is what happens the next step after a room is cleared out, usually somewhere in the basement or up in the attic or in a storage room, there's like some boxes or like cartons of kind of your stuff. And the stuff then that I noticed was moved out, my brother and I, as we were kids, we always kind of played farm. So we had all these tractors downstairs in our basement. We had a whole big farm situation set up and we'd go out and we'd work the fields and we'd cut the crops and we'd milk the cows and all these types of things. We'd play farm and we loved it. And I saw there was like a box of it downstairs after it was kind of moved out. But that sense of like kind of playing farm, we think of all the different things that we play like throughout the years. Like we play farm, we play house, we play doctor, we play school. We do all these types of things. But then all of a sudden, something changes where all of a sudden becomes not play, but it becomes real. And so we don't just have like fake cars that we're driving. All of a sudden, like we're really driving. We're not just playing school, but we're going to school. We're not just pretending to be, but we're on the farm. And it's all of a sudden, things become real. Things become real. And in some sense, that kind of aroma that surrounds this mass is that sense of real life and real faith. Real life with graduation and another step forward where life becomes real. And especially as we contemplate the Feast of Pentecost today, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's all about God becoming real. It's all about God becoming real. Because we say in our faith life, what makes our faith real? Because so often in our faith life as Christians, we can kind of play God. We can go to church, we can say our prayers, we can do all those things, and yet we don't have the Holy Spirit within our hearts. We can go through the motions without it being real. And that's the invitation of Pentecost, not just to go through the motions in our faith, but that Jesus Christ wants to unleash the Holy Spirit, which makes our faith come alive. We hear that in 1 Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes the faith come alive. Many people have said that the biggest distance in the entire world, the biggest gap is often between our mind and our heart. Because so often we can know something in our mind, but it never gets to our heart. And sometimes vice versa. That sense of what does the Holy Spirit do, but the Holy Spirit kind of connects us both. After the 9 o'clock mass that I had, someone came up to me, the graduates, and said, well, when I wrote, I didn't have much in my mind, so I always had to use my heart. But that was a different comment. But there's a sense of that distance between connecting our mind and our heart in our faith, that our faith becomes real to us, that the Holy Spirit unleashes God's presence in our lives. And so we ask ourselves today, have we just been going through the motions in our faith? Are we playing with God? Many times people will say in their relationship with Jesus that things become real, especially after dealing with a crisis situation. Many times in a crisis situation or in a moment where we feel lost or we feel down, all of a sudden that's that moment where all of a sudden we say, God, I need you right now. I need you now. And many times God becomes real in those situations for us. We all have many of those situations. But the invitation for us today on Pentecost is to not just turn to God when we need him, but to recognize that at every moment we need Jesus Christ, that at every moment through the Holy Spirit, he lives within us. And so we pray, Jesus, fill us, connect our minds and our hearts, help us to become fully in love with you, to trust you at every moment of our lives.